What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are just hours now from game four at Madison Square Garden. Knicks and Celtics, both teams really in a must-win situation to talk about Knicks, Celtics, game three, game four. What happens next? We bring in Zach Braziller from the New York Post. Hey, Zach, how are you?
What's up, Lori? How are you?
I'm doing well. What do you make of the comments from Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart after the game? In particular, some of the ones that, you know, when Brunson said that being up 2-0, he said, you know, I'm not saying we were complacent, but sort of not saying we weren't complacent. That, you know, not saying that, you know, subconsciously he said, I don't think we came with a mindset of being satisfied, but I think subconsciously satisfied with being up 2-0. What do you think about that? Those type of comments and how the Knicks approach Game Three?
Yeah, I think Mikal Bridges said it the best when he said, "We kind of, you know, human nature kind of got the better of us. You know, you're up 2-0, you're coming off these two just absolutely incredible, unbelievable wins, and you know, you're facing a champion who was desperate, you know, who knew that their season was on the line. And no matter how, you know, much you can tell yourself, we got to treat this like we're down 2-0, it's hard to do that. You know, I always feel like, especially in the playoffs, you always ride the more desperate team. And there's no doubt the Celtics were a desperate team. They played like it, and the Knicks didn't. And look, I still think the Celtics are the better team,
right?
Even though the Knicks won those first two games.
Mm-hmm.
And the better team played much better. Now, look, Knicks going to have to play better. There's no question about that. But I do think they're, you know, I don't think it's like the Knicks win and say, oh, we have the series won. I think we got to make that clear. But I do think it's, you know, it is human nature. I mean, the fact is the Knicks were up 2-0. And it's hard to match the desperation of a team that's probably better than you that knows it had to win the game. And that's why I think tonight is just so fascinating, because to me, it's like you mentioned, it's kind of a must-win for both teams. The Celtics know they can't go down 3-1. The Knicks know if they lose this game and it's 2-2, all the, you know, the Celtics, it's all in the Celtics' favor. So I think tonight we're going to get the first, you know, obviously the first two games went down to the wire, but the first game that's kind of really evenly played throughout, because you got two teams that basically both know they have to win the game tonight.
The interesting thing here is the Knicks are up 2-1, and yet other than Jalen Brunson being outstanding in the clutch, and look, Mikal Bridges has been, you know, that clutch last few minutes of the game, where the Knicks have outplayed them in the fourth quarter, games one and two. The Knicks have really actually not played well in this series. So they're up 2-1, but they have not played well. When you look ahead to game four, yes, the Celtics started hitting their threes, but when you look at it, is where do you think is the bigger problem as they look ahead to game four? Do they need to be significantly better on defense, or significantly better? Is the bigger problem actually that they've struggled offensively?
I mean, I think it's both. You could say it's a cop out, but they got to find a way to start better. They got to stop playing from behind. You know, they did it twice. It's not going to continue. You're not going to keep coming back from 20-point deficits. I know a lot was made of the Celtics shot, you know, 25 for 100 in the first two games from three. But to me, a lot of those were, I know the metrics might say they're wide open shots, some of them. But, you know, when a guy's 5 feet behind the three-point line, yeah, he might be open, but it's not a good shot. And I thought a lot of the first two games, a lot of it was the Celtics in isolation. A lot of it were bad shots. I thought the Knicks switching was really good, and I thought game three was a lot of just absolutely wide open shots. The Knicks pick and roll defense wasn't good. They were giving them wide open looks that, you know, NBA players are going to make. The Knicks are going to have to play a lot better, at least defensively, but also the flip side is the Knicks' strength all year was their offense.
Right.
And they've got to be much better offensively. OG Anunoby scored 7 points in the last two games. He's got to be better. They've got to get, you know, Cat's only taken 7 threes in these first three games. He's got to get more shots, especially, you know, we know how good of a three-point shooting big man he is. So he's got to get more shots. Brunson's got to get more shots. Brunson's got to play better offensively early. You know, his fourth quarters in the series have been great, but his first three quarters haven't been good. I think the first 5-6 minutes is going to tell us a lot about this Knicks team and kind of the game we're going to get from them, because they just, they cannot afford to be down 25-10 again and say, well, we're going to come back. It's just, the Celtics are too good to do that. You cannot spot them points. And to me, I know the rebounding at the end of game three was somewhat even, but the Knicks' offensive rebounding has got to be better. They gave way too many second shots to Detroit. First three games, they've given way too many second chances to the Celtics. Like, the Celtics are too deep and too good of an offensive team to give them second and third chances. And the Knicks have done that. They got away with it in the first two games, but they want to win this series. They got to clean that up. They got to be better on the glass.
What are you hearing about Cat's finger, Karl Anthony Towns, and the finger at the end of game three? It sort of seemed like maybe he had broken a finger.
Yeah, look, after the game, he said he was going to play. He practiced fully today. Tim said he was fine. You know, we're hearing behind the scenes, the finger's fine. It's the left hand. So I don't think it's going to be much of an issue. He wasn't on the injury report. I don't think it's an issue. You know, the one thing that I don't think they'll do it, but the one I would seriously consider starting Mitchell Robinson with Towns.
Mm-hmm.
And now, look, start of a game, it's a little harder. You're not just going to foul,
right,
you know, put yourself in the bonus in the first minute. And the Knicks have just been a much better team with Robinson in the game. You know, their starting five has a net rating in this series of -20.7, which means they're getting outscored by over 20 points per 100 possessions. And I know it's a much smaller sample size, but with Robinson, they're a plus net rating team in this series. And he just changes so many things for them defensively. And if you start him, and then you, let's say you bring a Josh Hart off the bench, you start Robinson, and, you know, you bring it, take him out at the first 5 or 6 minutes, you know, to me, maybe that helps them get off to a better start defensively. We all know how good of an offensive rebounder he is. I think that's a move they should consider. I doubt they do it, but I think that would be one thing I would look into for the Knicks to maybe get off to a better start.
Yeah, and then maybe after about 5-6 minutes, Josh Hart off the bench, you know, part of what it's felt like the Knicks have missed is having that bench depth this year. And while they have a Deuce McBride, Josh Hart brings you some energy. So maybe there is some energy there. Is there anything, too, that, you know, when we talk about this Knicks team and needing to raise their level of play and their energy, and the Celtics are a better team, so you know, if you want to have a chance to win, you have to at least match their intensity, but really, you know, kind of be that team that is playing with even more hustle, with even more intensity when the other team is better than you are. So what do you make of the Knicks and the home playoff record versus the road playoff record? The fact that they seem to have just been a more dialed-in, intense team on the road versus at home.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a great question. I don't have an answer for it. They don't have an answer for it. They're 5-0 on the road. They're 1-3 at home. They played so much better in the Detroit series on the road in a really tough environment. I know they got down in those Celtic games, but they obviously came back and they played great at the end of the third and the fourth quarters of that series. It's bizarre because the crowd at the start of that Celtics game was awesome. The atmosphere was incredible, and they obviously never really got a chance to get into that game. But it's one of those things that it's hard to explain why they've just been so much better on the road. And that Detroit series, they got off to good starts on the road, and they obviously played really well late in games, and as they have in this Celtics series, but they got to figure it out. I mean, they're not going to go win four games in Boston in this series. Maybe you think they could steal one more. That might even be asking a lot. They've got to find a way. You know, it's weird to say a team up 2-1 has to win a game, but I don't think there's any question. The Knicks have to win tonight. They go back to Boston 2-2. The Celtics have all the momentum. They have all the confidence saying, look, we gave away two games, but we're better than this team. We know we're going to win this series. They have to find a way to win tonight. I don't think there's any question about it. Maybe don't call it a must win, because the only must wins are when your season's on the line, but it's pretty close. I think it's pretty close that they have to win this game tonight.
You mentioned that OG Anunoby, 7 points in the last two games and 2 points in the last game. As I think back on the entire regular season and even the playoffs so far, the Knicks don't tend to run sets or run plays for OG that often. It's usually that he finds his offense. He's a player who, when things are going well, he's cutting, he's moving without the ball, they find him, that sort of thing. Do you expect them to, I was comparing it earlier to almost a wide receiver in the NFL, where you want to get somebody some looks, some catches in the first quarter so that you have them mentally. He's so important to this team. Of course, he's going to show up and play defense, but to be dialed in offensively, I've seen the stat that when OG takes, 14 shots, the Knicks win. Like, do you expect them to do something and call his number in a way that they haven't so far this season?
Yeah, look, I think they're going to look to get him involved early. I think they're going to look to get Kat a few threes early. And I think the other thing, and Tibbs talked about today, is when the Knicks are playing well defensively, when they're getting turnovers, when they're getting stops, it allows them to get out in transition. And, when they play fast, they're a much better team. And Anunoby is terrific in transition. Bridges is obviously very good in transition. That's one thing they got to do. They got to, you ask me what's more important, offense or defense. And I think the more I think about it, it's probably defense. Because when the Knicks have been at their best in this series, it's been their defense, creating turnovers and getting defensive rebounds and running. And that's kind of where he got a lot of his points in that first game when he had 29 points. If you look at the regular season series, he really struggled against the Celtics. I think he shot to like 14% for three. To me, it's a lot of this is going to be predicated on, can the Knicks get off to a good start defensively and then hope that kind of transitions into fast break chances and some easy baskets.
Did they do anything differently schematically defensively from games 1 and 2 to game 3? I mean, I had seen some things where people were speculating. In the first couple of games, it seemed that the Knicks were doing a lot of switching on defense, which was something that Tibbs has not historically done a lot of, but seemed to catch the Celtics by surprise. Were they still taking that approach, as far as you could tell, in Game 3?
It looked like they did tweak some things. It looked like they had Cat on drop coverage a few times, which led to some open Celtics threes. I asked Tibbs about it today, and he said there are certain guys you switch with, certain guys you're not going to. But it definitely looked like they weren't switching as much in game 3. Maybe part of that was they thought the Celtics were going to be ready for that. And it clearly backfired on them. It definitely looked like they were not switching as much, and they got burned with drop coverage a few times.
Yeah, you mentioned that the defense leading to offense for the Knicks. I think that's also, we talk about the Celtics as being the better team, and they are. They're the more talented, and it seemed to be the more talented and deeper team, even with Kristaps Porzingis and the mysterious illness going on. But one advantage, I think, when I look at these teams and the matchup and why the Knicks are better late and in the fourth quarter, is that the Celtics, for as good as this team is and as deep as they are, one of their big advantages is that they are this team that is sort of the positionless basketball, and everybody can switch and play any position. But they don't really have the same playmaking typical point guard to initiate their offense in crunch time when things are sort of stagnating. And so they need that play where Jason Tatum drives the length of the court and initiates it himself, or gives Tatum the ball and let him dictate and do stuff. And I do think on some level that's part of what leads to, as you mentioned, the turnovers, is that they don't have that. Is that something that, you know, as we look for advantages potentially for the Knicks, and you get to a fourth quarter, you get to 5 minutes left in the game, where it is something where the Knicks have an advantage because they have Brunson?
Yeah, I mean, look at the first two games. Those fourth quarters, the Celtics got tight, and, you know, they obviously had the two bridges plays at the end of the first two games where the Knicks got good stops. And yeah, I mean, you know, I think, as much as I still think the Celtics are the better team, I do think we need to not overreact to one game. You look at the playoffs, one game sometimes doesn't have a lot to do with the next. I mean, look at this bizarre Cleveland-Indiana series where Cleveland controls game three, they're healthy, and you think, all right, you know, I thought they would go on and win this series in six or seven, and then they get absolutely trounced, you know, tonight. So I do think we need to – sometimes the playoffs could be just so different from game to game, and, you know, the desperate team or the team that knows they need to win kind of takes their game up to a new level. And that's what the Knicks need to do tonight. The Knicks need to play their best game of the season. I don't think there's any question about that. The Knicks need to be sharp from the jump. They need to treat this game like this is their season here. This is their chance. They go up 3-1 and they're in the driver's seat and they have a legit shot to get to their first Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years. They need to treat that game as such and play the game of their season. I don't think there's any question about that. And, you know, but yeah, I think close game, the Knicks have that, you know, the Knicks have really clearly defined roles in crunch time. You know, Brunson's getting the ball, and, you know, they're obviously, you know, Bridges and Anunoby on the two Celtics star wings. And, you know, you saw in those first two games that the Knicks were looked like a lot more comfortable in a, you know, grinded out nail biter. So that's, to me, if you're the Knicks, you want to get to 5 minutes left in a close game and hope your closer can take you home.
Right. Yeah, that is the advantage. All right. As always, Zach Braziller, great stuff. And we'll see. Exciting times for the Knicks. And I think for a lot of us, we believe Game 4 is the series. And we'll know by this time tomorrow night if Knicks are up 3-1 or it's a 2-2 situation. Zach, appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Lori, have a good one.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.